Shus, Rabbi Willig, and it was real. Much of what Rabbi Willig said was not true, but much of what he said was also very true, that my experience in YU was incredible, especially from the perspective of the Rebbeim, and I encourage each one of you to connect to all the Rebbeim, the younger and the older, to get to know them. Rabbi Mordechai Willig, who I speak to quite often for Shilas, Rav Schechter, who I get to speak to quite often, Rav Rosenzweig, who I learned under for around 8 years, and so many other great Rebbeim that I encourage you to reach out to. And at first it might be intimidating, but Baruch Hashem, you have a generation here of people who are willing to do things and have a little bit more chutzpah than when I was younger, which is part of this generation, which is a good thing in some respects, which means you should go over to the Rebbeim, introduce yourself, get to know them. But I think one of the fine things about YU is, in addition to the great Rebbeim they have and the great Gedolei HaTorah, are the young men learning the Beis Medrash. And let me share a story with you. When I was around your age, I came back from Eretz Yisrael, from the Tiv, and I was trying to find myself as well. How much time should I spend in the Beis Medrash? How much time should I spend playing basketball? Now, one of the things I like to say, people ask me, tell me something interesting about yourself. And I say I was one of two people in Frisch who played on both the hockey team and the basketball team. It was me and Jared Kushner. So Jared Kushner and I, we played on both teams. And when you came back married to Israel, it was hard to find that balance between learning and basketball and sports and staying in shape. And there's one Thursday, early in my career there in YU, I spent around 8 years in YU. And early in my career there, I'm leaving the Beis Medrash after Marv Thursday night. 10 o'clock was Marv. 10:20, 10:25, and Rabbi Yehuda Willig comes over to me and asks if I went out of the chavrusa with him. I didn't even think about learning later than 10:25 at that point. And he said, "Let's learn Ramban al Torah." And he had a little pamphlet which pointed out the very important yesodos, those Rambans which are most important to learn. And we spent a number of weeks, maybe months, I don't know how long it lasted for, but it gave me that extra push to learn a bit more and more. So in addition to the great Rebbeim that are there, we also have great young Talmid Chachamim who grow out to be incredible Gedolim themselves. So 20 years earlier I knew him, and now 20 years later, look what he's accomplished. So Bereshis, Rabbi Willig, Bozriel again, thank you so much for having me. Thank you to Shira. And let's begin, because it's late. I've got a long trip home. And, you know, Elul's right around the corner. So we have to start tracking and seeing what we could do to be better people now. So let's talk about the Parsha first, the Pasuk, which perhaps you're familiar with. Pasuk tells us in this week's parasha, Re'ei Anochi, so you should look, I should look, Nosin Lefneichem Hayom Brachu Klala. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives places in front of us two paths. A path of bracha and a path of klala. A path of blessing, a path of curse. A good path and a bad path. And you have that right to make the decision which way you want to go. And it's not an easy decision. We all know what the decision should be, but to make the right decision is not an easy decision. There's a mabul out there. There's an ocean of challenges, distractions. There's a sea of that Yetzer Hara that tries to trick us in what we should be doing. And to make that decision between brach and klal is not as easy as we would like it to be. And we have various challenges of looking for honor, looking for money, looking for success, looking for wealth. Speaking Lashon Hara, go down the list of all the challenges each of us have. And there's a pasuk that tells us that when you face this ocean of challenge, the pasuk says, Hanosin b'yam derech. It says in this week's parsha, Re'ei Anochi nosin lefneichem. I'm placing in front of you two paths. So there's another pasuk that says, Hanosin b'yam derech. You could find your path in the waters. And that mabul that's out there that stares us in the eyes, you could make yourself a path. And now Rizal tells us that during the month of Elul, you should try to think about this pasuk. You wake up in the morning, you daven, think about these three words. Hanosein b'yam derech. To find your path in that ocean. And we each have a different ocean. We each have a different set of challenges. But there's a path for each one of us. Hanosein b'yam derech. I want to discuss how to find that path. How do you find that path? It's like a running back behind his offensive line. He's trying to find the opening, the break And the offensive line finds a break at home. He needs to find that path. He needs to trickle through that path and find the nosim b'yam derech. So how do you find that path in this Yam Suf? So Chazal teach us that when Klai Yisrael walked through Yam Suf, Kriyas Yam Suf, there are 12 different paths. Each Shevet walked down its own path. Shevet Reuven, Shimon, Yehuda, and so on. They each had their own unique path. And there were walls of water surrounding each of these paths. So we have to find a path that speaks to us. So how do we find such a path? How do we build a path? How do you create a path? How do you find the path in the Yam Suf? So there's a beautiful Bas Yam, Bas Ayin rather. The Bas Ayin tells the following. Yisro heard all the incredible things HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Am Yisrael. And what was it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Am Yisrael in the Midbar? Says Rashi, Kriyas Yam Suf and Mechamesh HaMalach. Asks the Bas Ayin, I understand how Kriyas Yam Suf was so miraculous. It was so powerful, so inspiring. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the water and split it. There are 12 paths in the Yam Suf. But what was so inspiring about Milchemes Amalek? What happened to Milchemes Amalek? We were attacked by Amalek. We were cooled off. And then we were able to ward them off and move on. But it wasn't anything miraculous. What was the great nace of Amalek, he asks. Why was that inspiring to Yisro to join Am Yisro? So Bas Ayin explains as follows. It was Yam Suf, Kriyas Yam Suf, that was inspiring. But the problem was, when Klai Yisrael was so on fire, when you have the best team in the league, if you're the Bucks or the equivalent in baseball, I would root for the Yankees, it's still early in the season still, the best team, there's no place on the bench for you to join the basketball team. If you're the best team in the league, there's no spot for you. But if you're the worst team in the league, then there's plenty of room on the bench for you. They're looking for more players to make them better. When Klai Yisrael left the Yam Suf, when they walked out of that Kriyas Yam Suf, they were on fire. And Yisro was inspired. He wanted to join them. Everybody wants to be on the best team. But there's no team. There's no space left in the Bucks. They're full. The bench is full. All 12 men. So Yisro couldn't join them. But the moment Amalek came, and he cooled off Am Yisro, Asher Karcha Baderech, he made them cool, softened them. There was a breach. They were undefeated, and then came along Amalek. Amalek beat them, softened them, weakened them. And then there was an opening. Says the Bas Ayin, that Yisro was inspired by Kriyas Yam Suf, but Amalek created a Pesach, created a breach, created an opening for Yisro to join them. And when it comes to building our path, building our homes. Mirat Hashem, you all get married, have children very soon. And you're going to build a house for each other. You're going to build a home with walls. Walls to protect yourselves, walls to protect your children. And there are two types of walls you could build. There are two words that are found in the Hebrew language for the word wall. There's a choma and there's a kir. And the difference is the word choma comes from the word cham, heat, warmth. Kir comes from the word kar, cold. So when Klai Yisrael walked out of Yam Suf, the pasuk describes the walls of water by Ma'ilhem Choma. The water served as a choma. They were walls of fire, walls of warmth, heat, love. Asher karcha b'derech ba'amalek came and they turned those walls, they were cold, they were empty, and they were broken. The first thing you have to do is build a protection around yourself, a path, with walls that are full of love, full of ava, full of warmth. When I was dating, before I started dating, so I spoke to my Rebbe of Rodenzweig for some dating advice, which many of you either have or will when the time comes. And Rebbe Rodenzweig told me that it's very important to know that when a couple sometimes are arguing, in essence, they're really agreeing. And sometimes when they're agreeing, they're really arguing. And he gave me an example. So let's say both parents want to send their children to the same type of school. Let's call it a very open-minded school. Different types of kids, different types of backgrounds, some religious, some not religious. They both want to send to this type of school. Sounds like they agree. But it's very possible they have different angles, different reasons. So the husband might want to send the children to such a school because he wants the children to be more exposed and become less religious, which is not a good reason. But the wife wants to send to such a school because sometimes it's important to be exposed to other types of people, to realize how to appreciate what you have, to build immunity to what's out there, to be exposed to the real world, and the challenge sometimes makes you even stronger. It's like a vaccine. Many vaccines give a little bit of that, the flu, not the COVID one, but a little bit of that disease, that virus, and then your body builds up a protection. It's some type of exposure therapy. You expose to the outer world. It makes you strong. But sometimes you want to protect. Sometimes you want to build a wall to insulate yourself, to insulate your family. And there's no right answer. It depends on the situation. Exposure therapy is a real thing. I heard of Shiloh once that an individual was seeing a therapist because the person had davened that someone die. No one ever do this. And the person died. And the person felt so guilty that this was this person's fault. So the therapist suggested daven that someone else die, and you see it won't work. So that's terrible for so many reasons. But exposure therapy, when a person's scared of something, my wife, for example, is terrified of snakes. So she won't even look at a picture of a snake. So exposure therapy would be, here's a picture of a snake, it doesn't bite. And then you build up often. Exposure to things sometimes makes you stronger. But sometimes exposure is not healthy. You have to build that the wall of warmth and love and ava. Rav Steinman was once asked the following question. Someone was read a shidduch of a wonderful girl. Great resume, great everything. But the one problem was that her brother wasn't religious. And the boy wanted to know whether he should date this girl. Why? Because the pasuk tells us that when Aaron married Elisheva, described Elisheva as the sister of Nachshon ben Aminadav. Who cares? Who cares who her brother was? Aaron was marrying Elisheva, not her brother. And the Gemara tells us because you need to check into the brother. That's going to tell you how the sister is, how the children will be. I have a mice, actually funny mice, from Mordechai Will, when I got engaged to my wife, because she's a very chashuv brother. Very chashuv brother. A real Eloi. So I told Rav Willig, I got engaged to Ruvi Schwartz's sister. So Rav Willig said, oh, what a tzaddik. So he's a massive Talmud Chacham. He says, no. More importantly, he's a massive tzaddik. So you have to check into the brother. So the person asked the Shaila to Rav Steinman, a wonderful girl, but the brother is not so religious. What should I do? Rav Steinman said, that Gemara doesn't apply anymore, unfortunately. Once upon a time where the homes were more insulated, and there was a child who may not have been so religious, that might indicate there's something wrong in the chinuch of the family. But nowadays, we have so much exposure to the outside world, so many things could turn a person off. We can't judge anyone. We can't judge any family in such a case. But there's a concept of exposure to the real world, exposure to the outside world, and protecting. The most important thing is to make a home full of love. A choma. The walls of the water of the walls of Yamsuf, the Kriyas Yamsuf. An incredible story happened in my shul around a year and a half ago. It was a Shabbos morning. My wife is standing in the hallway, the lobby of the shul. A lady walks in from the shul, someone we know well, and she looked terribly distraught. So my wife naturally walks over and asks if everything's okay. And she said, no, not really. Things are not really great. So my wife asked what's wrong. So she explained that just yesterday, or of Shabbos, her younger sister came over and introduced her older sister to her fiancé, and the fiancé who was not Jewish. So the younger sister brings over the fiancé to her older sister who is very religious, very firm. So this older sister, the one in the shul, was very upset, but she didn't say a thing to her younger sister, just gave her a big hug, and that was it. And what's she going to do? Her sister's marrying a non-Jew. So my wife just listened, probably gave her a hug, and nothing to say. 3 days later, my wife gets a call from this lady she saw in shul. Completely elated, and tells her, you'll never guess what happened. my younger sister broke off the engagement. Want to know why? Because when she came to my house Erev Shabbos, she saw that my house, the table was set for Shabbos. Beautiful china, glass, silverware, candles, flowers. And she saw my kids running around. And the sister said, I want a house like this. I want a home that has walls, chomos, of love and av and Shabbos. This is what I want in my house. And she immediately ended that relationship because of what she saw. And then what she added, this lady told my wife, what's even crazier, this lady said, is she never sets the table early on Shabbos. She always waits for her husband to go to shul and sets it when he goes to shul. This was the first time ever she set the Shabbos table early because she happened to have having a very chashuv rav come as a guest for that Shabbos. So not only did she set it early, but she set the table with the best china, with the best silverware, the best glasses, everything, the works. And this was the week that her sister came to introduce her fiancé, Mamash Hashgacha Pratis. Because that's what a house is like, full of love. A chomos of love and warmth. But not everybody has the same path. Each of us are going to have different paths in life as we try to draw through that Yam Suf. And there are 12 different paths in the Yam Suf. And there's a halacha brought down based on the Gemara that says every single shul should have 12 windows. 12 windows correspond to 12 shvatim. There's a different window. You know, those little colored glasses, glass windows, Reuven and Shimon. Some shuls have like the pictures of the flags. Those represent the different paths, the different avenues of within the Torah world. What your path is. And corresponding to that, the Arizal writes that there are 12/13 different nuschos tefillah. The 12 different ways to daven. Ashkenaz, Sfard, Moroccan, whatever the other types, Persian. 12 different types. And then there's a 13th type. The 12 different nuschos tefillah are connected to 12 shvatim, the 12 paths in the Yam Suf, and then there's a 13th. That 13th nusach tefillah is called the nusach ari. It's a combination of the other 12. It's kolel, it includes all the other 12. The nusach ari has a little Ashkenaz, a little Sfard, a little Moroccan, a little Persian, all in one. It's a 13th that captures everyone. You know why Chabad goes out to the world? To invite every single Jew, to ask them to wear tefillin, to come for Shabbos. They don't care how they dress, how they look. Because the 13th avenue is everybody's included. So while there are 12 windows in the shul for the 12 shvatim, where's the 13th window? It's the front door. The door that everybody walks through. All 13 are come together. That's the front. Yeah, there's a Reuven, there's a Shimon, but we all walk through the same door. No matter what path you take, no matter how you dress, what kind of yarmulke you wear a hat, you don't wear a hat, you colored shirts, white shirts, we all walk through the same front entrance for the Beis Knesset. There's a funny maisa once. There was Zonnenfeld, Eretz Yisrael, the early part of the 20th century, when the British ministers came to visit. He was visiting all the heads of the different religious groups, the Muslims, the Christians, and the Jews. And he wanted to meet each one of them. So he went to meet the Muslims. He met this big, fancy palace. Went to meet the head priest, a big, fancy palace. Rav Zonnenfeld lived in a basement apartment in the Old City. And he had one window where you could see, like, the people walking in the Old City. And they wanted to meet Rav Zonnenfeld. So Rav Zonnenfeld said, come to my house, come to my apartment. And his Talmidim said, Rebbe, this is a British minister, everything's perfectly fine and neat and tailored. He's not coming to your basement apartment. Let's find a nice fancy house. Zonnenfeld says, no. If I invited him, so I'd come invite him to a big fancy house. He wants to see me. He wants to see how I live. So the British minister comes into the Old City, walks down, bending his down a small stairs to the basement of Zonnenfeld's apartment. Zonnenfeld takes out one of these wicker basket type chairs, offers the minister a chair to sit. He sits and falls right through the chair. So Rav Zonnenfeld, quite sharp, explains to him, you know, when Yaakov Avinu wanted to fall asleep in Har Bayis, so all the rocks fought, who's going to be Zocha which rock Yaakov will sleep on. So they all made a pshara, all 12 stones became one. So all the holes must have been fighting, who's going to be Zocha to hold the minister? So they all joined, became one big hole. That was the idea. So all the 12 holes become one big 13th hole. The idea is this achdus, everybody coming together. Regardless of the path you go through, it's all one path in the end of the day. Ara writes that the word echad, achdus, aleph ches dalet. Aleph is for one. Ches are the 8 children from Rachel and Leah. And dalet are the 4 children from the shvatim. All together, all the 12 shvatim together make the achdus. So regardless of what direction, what path you take, we all come and go to the same place. But sometimes we feel stuck behind that Yam Suf. Sometimes we're like that running back that can't find the opening behind the lineman. We can't find that Pesach, Nosim B'Yam Derech. We can't find it. And sometimes we feel like we have to give up. No place to go. So there's an amazing Targum Yonasan. In Parsha B'Shalach, in the beginning, when Klal Yisrael is about to enter Yam Suf, where they're stuck, closed in, locked in the midbar, Yam Suf on one end, Mitzrayim on the other end. And it says that Paro leans over, Amar Paro of Nei Yisrael, Nevuchim Heim Baretz, they're stuck. They're stuck in the midbar. So who's he speaking to? He wasn't talking to Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael was hundreds of yards in front. Who is the Bnei Yisrael he's referring to? Targum Yonasan says he was talking to Dasan Davir. They didn't want to go to Bnei Yisrael. Everybody left. And Dasan Davir was staying in the palace with Paro. So Paro turns to Bnei Yisrael, 2 Jews, Dasan Vavir, and he says to them, hey, they're stuck. So they crossed over Yam Suf. But we know Dasan Vavir was with Klal Yisrael many, many years in the Midbar. How'd they make it over? They missed Yam Suf. How'd they cross over Yam Suf? They were in their part of the Kriyas Yam Suf. Says the Ber Maim Chaim that the Yam Suf split a second time. It split a second time, the Pasuk says, V'yavo b'nei Yisrael b'soch hayam. V'yavo b'nei Yisrael. 2 Jews walked the Yam by themselves. Dasan v'Avirim. Dasan v'Avirim were not the greatest of tzaddikim, as we know. They made many mistakes throughout the Midbar. And nonetheless, they were able to find the Pesach through the Yam Suf. Sometimes we feel stuck, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always find an opening. For the greatest tzaddikim and the greatest Rishonim, there's always a way out. We can never feel stuck. I'll share with you a sad story that could have had a different ending, but it's a powerful story nonetheless. That a Jew is always a Jew. There's an individual, a big Askin, Tzvi Gluck, perhaps you heard of him, started Amudim. And he also works as a chaplain in the army, and he was once someplace in who knows where, no Jews around, someplace in Midwest, part of his army duties. And he had a flight to make the next morning, so he decided to pull an all-nighter doing some paperwork. He was working at the hotel's cafe or bar, doing some work there. And a man sits next to him, a man full of tattoos from head to toe and all types of piercings, and says, "What's a guy like you doing around here?" And if anyone knows Tzvi Gluck, he's a very open guy, and he explained what he's doing around here. He was working as part of the army. And he has this organization, Amudim, which helps individuals who went through abuse. And he just started opening up to him that he's trying to raise money, he's trying to do some big projects, and he's trying to create a curriculum to teach young students about abuse for these schools and yeshivas. And as they're talking, this man's wife comes over, tattoos of crosses all over, and says, "What are you talking to some stranger at the bar? We're waiting for you in the pool." So the man says to Tzvi, "Okay, I gotta go, but wait for me, I'll be back in an hour or so. And if I'm not, here's my room number." So Tzvi says, "Okay." So the guy leaves, comes back an hour later, hands him a piece of paper, and has all the phone numbers of the CEOs of different places that he needed to get in touch with. That there's no way he could have gotten in touch with without these numbers. "And here you go. Take care." And she's like, "Wait a second, who are you?" It's like this malach came from Shemayim with every single phone number that he was looking for and all the contacts. "Who are you?" He says, "Don't worry who I am. Just call these numbers." He says, "No, give me your name. Give me something." And back and forth, finally he says in Yiddish, this man tattoos, "Perhaps if you were around when I was a young boy, I wouldn't be here with 2 shiksas in the pool." Sometimes people feel like they're really stuck. But there's never a time that we're stuck. There's always a nosen b'yam derech. There's always a path we could find in that yamsuf. We have to find our unique path. And one last point before I conclude is, as you all, in your young years, you're trying to figure out what you want to accomplish in life and how do you build that path, the biggest part of finding your path, in addition to building healthy walls, walls of love, walls of comfort, walls of fire, you need to think what's at the end of that path. You need to think big, you need to dream big, you need to fantasize. Fantasize what you want to accomplish, what you want to learn, how you want to daven, what do you want your Shabbos table to look like? What type of chesed you want to be involved in? You need to think big, you need to dream big. Now, I learned a couple weeks ago, my daughter showed me one of the kids' magazines they had. I learned a new word, a new concept called aphantasia. Aphantasia means the inability to fantasize. There are some people who don't have ability to imagine. They can't imagine things. That means if you tell them a person's name, if I say, Moshe Feinstein, you probably have a picture of Moshe Feinstein in your head right now. If I told such a person, Moshe Feinstein, they will not be able to have an image in their head. They cannot describe Moshe Feinstein with a white beard. They don't see such a thing. It exists. They've met people multiple times. They will not recognize a person because they have no imagination. It's something we take for granted. So one of the things, one of the blessings that we all have is the ability to fantasize, the ability to imagine. Sit down. Spend some time imagining what you want your derech to look like, what you want your path to look like, how you want to raise a family, raise children. And when you have that fantasy, you have that big dream, you're able to accomplish incredible things. And part of that fantasizing is as follows. We all know great people, whether it's great rabbis, great teachers, great moros, great parents, great grandparents. And it's important to fantasize about them as well. What do I mean? So let's say you're in a shalom bayis situation and you want to say something not nice to your wife or to your husband. Think about, imagine, fantasize about Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. What would he do in this shalom bayis case? Let's say you want to judge someone, you see a person doing something they shouldn't be doing, and you want to be down the kaf schus, but it's hard to sometimes. Fantasize about the Berditchever, Kedushas Levi. What would he do? How would he judge this person? Let's say you're busy wasting time, you want to be learning more, but you're wasting time doing whatever you're doing. What would Vayashev do in this case? How would he maximize his time? And the power of fantasizing, the power of imagination, really makes a difference of making that path small or making that path big, making that path great. So I'll finish with one final story. We are in camp here. So it's a book, I highly recommend this book, the biography of Rabbi David Trenk. Incredible, incredible biography, especially those who want to go into teaching, but parenting, this what an incredible tzaddik. In the beginning of the book has an incredible maisa. So there's a boy in camp, a religious camp. The Shabbos afternoon, the boy walks over to the light switch, turns off the light switch, turns on the light switch, and he starts laughing. And all the boys are in utter shock how this boy just did this. So they all told the counselors, division heads, and he was sent to the director's office, and it was clear that this boy was being sent home after Shabbos. The director says, come back to me after Shabbos. That Shabbos, they had a special speaker, so he said, after the speaker, come to me. So the speaker decided to speak about Rav David Trenk, because 3 weeks earlier he had passed away. So he made a hesped about Rav David Trenk. Now, Rav David Trenk had nothing to do with this particular camp, but he felt, since it was just recent, he would share some different hesped about Rav David Trenk. Now, Rav David Trenk was an incredible, incredible person. And I can't tell you all the stories, but his whole essence of his life was to make every person feel loved. Just to feel loved. To feel love and warmth. Every page of that book is about love, 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 every single child. I'll give you one example. He was once learning Maseches Kedushin, talks about Kinyan Hagbah. Kinyan Hagbah is when you lift an object up, you acquire it. He stopped the shir and told everyone, you see what the Gemara tells us? You can lift up a human being, a neshama, and you can make them something big. Every page of his teaching was about making someone feel great, loved, and powerful. So David Trenk was spoken about that night. Right after the speech, the director met with this young boy who was Michal Shabbos. So the whole time he's imagining this director, what would Rav Trenk do in this case? What would David Trenk do with this boy? The boy walks in, all nervous, and the director says to him, So you know why you're here, right? You know why you're here. Yeah? Yeah, I know why I'm here. He says, I imagine you probably turned the light on by mistake, right? He said, yeah, it was by mistake, exactly. And you probably laughed because you were uncomfortable, you were embarrassed, right? But he says, yeah, exactly right. And the director says, okay, thank you so much, go back to your bunk. And the boy's walking out. Before he steps out of the office, he turns back around and says, can I ask you a question? The director wasn't sure where the question was going, but he said, sure. The boy says, can we learn Hilchos Shabbos together? And the director said, sure. That's a house of love. House of chomos, love and warmth. So as we begin Elul just a few days from now, we should think about Nosim Beyam Derech, finding our unique path in this world, our unique path in this Yamsuf that we face, that Kriyas Yamsuf, to respect our peers and their paths, to create our paths in this Yamsuf, and we should be Zocha to a month, to a Yom Adin that we walk out of with incredible simcha, incredible tshuva. We should be Zocha the Gula Shem about Mitas, Meher Aminu, Amen v'Amen.